No, sometimes I just do other things during the
What?
initial conversations of the Faburo.
It was a very important
During the
step.
waste of, you mean during the waste of time, Napa?
We're talking about the most important fillers of the year. Okay, welcome to Netanya, welcome to Mishkafai, and welcome to Ramat Beit Shemesh for the last year of the year. We're in the Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll learn some Gemara, and then maybe if there's a few minutes left at the end, I'd like to share with you a Rosh Hashanah thought that Be'ezus Hashem can help us understand what I feel that it truly means to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, of course, a very strange sounding principle to coronate the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king, whether you coronate him or not. What exactly does that mean? So, we all obviously have our understanding of that. Maybe at the end, we'll share a couple of thoughts. So, we're on the Gemara, we're trying to work out. Who was it in the Mishnah? We were told that there was a Tana called Ben Zakkai, a Tana called Ben Zakkai. And Ben Zakkai used to check the Edim in order to try and find a contradiction. He used to ask them about the fruits on the tree next to the murder scene. Already established, you can't kill somebody with a fruit, so clearly we're not talking about the weapon of murder. It's really a side issue. And nonetheless, Rav Ben Zakkai said that no, if you can trip up the Edom on that, then so be it. So if one of them says it was a very thick stalk and another one says it was a very thin stalk, then that'll be enough to prove it to be a hakhosha. We're trying to work out, however, who exactly is this? So the first guess, obviously, was presumably it's Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. But it turned out that we proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that it can't possibly be Ben Rabbi Yechon Zakkai for reasons that we saw yesterday. We're not going to get into again. But it's not Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So if you have a look at the Gemara, let's have a look at the third bottom line. Elo Ben Zakkai da'alma. It's a Ben Zakkai da'alma. It's somebody from the world, some Ben Zakkai. It's not Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, who we are more familiar with. Says the Gemara, Hochanami Mistabra. Indeed, this is very logical. Indeed, yes, it's logical to dictate that the Ben Zakkai of the Mishnah is not the great Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Do you know why? Yisal kedatech Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Because if you would think that we're talking about the great, famous Tana Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Korilei Rabbi Ben Zakkai, would we have called him Ben Zakkai? That's very strange. He's known to us as Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So why are we all of a sudden change his name? Doesn't make sense. Call him rather anonymously Rabbi Ben Zakkai. So the suggestion must therefore be, the implication is that yes, you're right, it's not Ben Zakkai after all, it's not Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, and it must indeed be another Tana whose father happened to be called Zakkai, so he was called Ben Zakkai. Problem is, we have a Mefurash of Braisa that tells us that actually it was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Bahotanya, but we have in a Braisa, Maisa, there was a story, Ubodak, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai checked up the Edim, Ba'uktze Te'enim, with regard to the stalk of the Te'enim. So don't tell me that it's a Ben Zakkai somewhere, someplace, some person. It says clearly that it's Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And if you remember, we already proved yesterday that this is highly problematic. Because Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It was only the last 40 years of his life that he was a Dayan. And yet the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Dinei Nefashos. So the numbers simply do not add up. If Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was only a Dayan after the last 40 years of his life, but the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Dinei Nefashos, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was still around after the Beis HaMikdash, well, then he can't possibly have been sitting on the Beis Din to be judging dinei nefoshes. So that's what we thought. It's not Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, it's a different one. But we've now just found a brice that says Mefurish is Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Says the Gemara on the last line, Elo, Talmid Hayoyshev Lifnei Rabboi. It's a Talmid Hayoyshev Lifnei Rabboi, a disciple who was sitting in front of his master, the Omar Milsa. And he suggested this matter in front of the Dayanim, Umistaber Luhu Tami. And they accepted it as logical. The Kavuha Bishmei. And they now fixed it in his name. So if I'm said correctly, Rabbi Yosef, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Who was this Talmid Ayeshev Lifnei Rabboi? It was indeed Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself.
Yes, yes, yes.
In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, remember, the middle 40 years of his life, he was not yet a Dayan. He wasn't teaching Torah, he wasn't paskening Torah, he was learning Torah. But he was clearly a competent Talmud Chacham, so it was that middle 40 years that he was a Talmud. He was sitting there in front of his Rebbe, in front of the Dayanim, and he was the one who suggested, I've got a great suggestion. Why don't you ask the Edim about the fruit at the side of the tree? Because it was mistaber, because they accepted it as, yes, perfectly plausible and logical, therefore they fixed this halacha in his name. And it all of a sudden became Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's halacha. Even though he personally, obviously, could never have enforced it, because by the time he came to be a Dayan, the Beis Din were not doing Dinei Nefoshes anymore. So now we understand, why was he referred to as Ben Zakkai, if indeed it was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai? Says the Gemara, Ki havalomet. When he was just at the stage of learning, not yet teaching, meaning that middle 40 years of his life, Ben Zakkai have a kori lei. So they called him Ben Zakkai. Talmud Ayeshev Lefnei Rabbi. They didn't yet give him that title of kovod Harav Reb Yochanan Ben Zakkai. But ki have a limeid. But once he began teaching, then have a kori lei Reb Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So therefore, ki kori lei Ben Zakkai. When were they calling him Ben Zakkai? Do you know why they called this halacha in the Mishnah under the title of Ben Zakkai al Shem Demi'ikara? That was because of what happened in the beginning. In the beginning, when he was the one who proposed this halacha, he was not yet called Reb Yechanan Ben Zakkai. So it's true. When we now write the history books, we can now refer to that Talmud. Who was that Talmud? That Talmud turned out to be the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So why doesn't it write Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Because at the time, he wasn't yet known as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Me'ikara, in the beginning. So that's why in the Mishnah, it refers to him. In the Mishnah, it refers to him as Yochanan, just ben Zakkai, because he wasn't yet called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Mash'enken, says the Gemara, V'chi kori lei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Whereas in the other brisa, why is it over there that we do indeed refer to him as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we give him his full title? That's al shem dahashta. That's in accordance with the name that he has now. So therefore, it's no contradiction. Yes, we're talking about the exact same person. The fact that in the Mishnah he's known as Ben Zakkai and in the brisa he's known as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not a contradiction at all. In the Mishnah, it's referring to what was his name at the time. And at the time, he was called Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's not that he personally checked the Edim. He wasn't yet a Dayan. But he suggested this to the Dayanim, and they accepted it. Therefore, the Halacha, as it were, was named after him. Whereas in the Braisa, there it's referring to after the end of his life. Now, of course, we call him the great Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. Just like, for example, If we talk about David HaMelech, why are we calling him David HaMelech? The first 30 years of his life, he was not a Melech. So the answer is it's true. But now that he was a Melech, so if we're looking back, we now call him David HaMelech. Albeit, of course, there are plenty of psukim that talk about David. Is that a term of disrespect? Why are you calling him David and not David HaMelech? The answer is because he wasn't yet David HaMelech. He was just David. Now, looking back retroactively at his life, we now refer to him as David HaMelech. So too over here as well. At the time, he was known as Yochanan ben Zakkai, as Ben Zakkai. Now we look back and he's called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Have a look quickly at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Omud. V'omar Milsa, this Talmud, this Ben Zakkai, who of course eventually was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So at the moment, he suggested this idea to the Dayanim. Lifnei ha-Dayanim Raboisov. So he suggested this to his Rabbeim, the Dayanim. Ve'istaber lohu ta'amei. And yes, his reasoning was logical to them. They said, fine, we didn't think of that for whatever reason. Yes, what a terrific idea. Yes, we should ask the Edim, what was the fruit doing on the tree? Says Rashi, top Rashi. Ve'kavuhu b'shmei. They fixed this halacha now in his name. V'hai de'korilei b'chodah masnisin ben Zakkai. Why is it that in one place we call him Ben Zakkai and in another place we call him Rabbi Yechna Ben Zakkai? Loi tikshi. That's not a difficulty. It's just two different ways of referring to him. Man de kori le Ben Zakkai. The one who calls him Ben Zakkai, that's al shem he shaita. That's because of at that particular moment, the Omra Lahar Milsa, when he actually proposed this matter. When he proposed this matter, what was his name at the time? His name was Ben Zakkai. Uman de Korile Rabbon, the one who refers to him as more prestigious title of Rabbon Yechem and Zakkai, Al Shem Seife Korile. That's the one that we call him in accordance with his name at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, he's now called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yes, Rabbi.
I'm a little confused because the name, the issue of whether he was Ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, why we called it, is not really the big question. They were asking, how could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be shayach to this halacha by the time he was giving, knowledgeable enough? We were not mafarish this.
Right.
But from the beginning, whether it was Ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yochanan, they could have said, no, it was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, but he was made a suggestion, and that's so even though before, why did they have to go through the whole name, whether it was Ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai? The issue was the timing, not his name.
One second. Our immediate understanding was that we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Problem is, it can't possibly be of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai because he wasn't a Dayan at the time. The answer was...
Right, so then right then, all they had to say was when he was a Talmud, he made a suggestion.
That's the Gemara's answer. That is the
no,
Gemara's answer.
They're saying he was Ben Zakkai, and then we gave him the name of Yochanan Ben
Zakkai. Because we have a stira. Because if you're going to tell me that, in fact, it was indeed Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai who just made a suggestion, then why are we referring to him as two different names? In the Mishnah, he's known as Ben Zakkai, and in the Braisa that the Gemara calls... Referred, we call him Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbon Yochanan. That's the contradiction. I have no problem in understanding the story. Yes, it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He wasn't paskening the halacha. Rather, he was just suggesting it to the Dayanim. But the Gemara is asking, there's still a stira. Because in the Mishnah, we call him Ben Zakkai. And the Braisa, we call him Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Says the Gemara, no problem, no stira. The Mishnah is referring to what he was called at the time. The Braisa is referring to what he's called now. Yeah. Okay, you know what? We're going to hold it over here because it's a brand new sugya. So instead of starting it, because we're going to have a break. Obviously, I don't think we'll be able to learn tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. I'm not sure we'll see. Tzem Gedalia is a very hard fast. It's coming after the 3-day Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuvah, Drasha, and all. We'll see. Bli Neda, I'll send out an email. But maybe just for a moment or two, maybe just to share a halacha, maybe just to share a halacha, a machshava, really. As we approach now the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we must not forget that Rosh Hashanah, albeit we're not involved in active tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, we do not do al chait or vidui, but nonetheless, it is the first day of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So there clearly must be an aspect of tshuva, although not in the classical sense of vidui, etc., that is practiced on Rosh Hashanah, which is difficult to understand because the only avoida of Rosh Hashanah specifically, as Chazal tell us, is to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to coronate the king. So clearly, coronating the king must be an integral, and not just integral, a primary stage in Tshuva. It's the first thing we do. We don't have Yom Kippur and then Rosh Hashanah. We first have Rosh Hashanah. So we need to understand, what does this mean? Why is being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu part of the Tshuva process, and not just part of it? It's actually the first stage. Of course, the bigger question is, what does that mean to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Didn't we just say in davening this morning, Adonai Olam Asher Molach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reigned, Beterem Kol, Yetzir Nivra, before anybody was created. He was long a melech. He was a melech before any of us were thought of. So what does that mean to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why on earth does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to be mamlech him when in fact he's the melech anyway? Now, we read on Shabbos a posuk, which we read every year, maybe we struggle to understand, because the Torah, when talking about the mitzvah of tshuva, says this mitzvah is not distant. It's not across the seas. It's not in the heaven, but rather the famous words, "Ki korov eilecha hadavar ma'od." It's very, very, very close to you. Sounds like the Torah is telling you it's very simple, very accessible, very easy. And the painful question that we sometimes find ourselves asking is, do we really find it so easy? Do we really find tshuva so easy to come by when we struggle, and sometime throughout the winter we're busy maybe scratching our heads, what was it that we were makabel on Yom Kippur? Yom HaNeroyim has been forgotten. What does it mean that tshuva is easy? Ki korei ve'ilecho hadova mo'id. And the answer is, or at least an answer, this is something that I've been thinking about the last few days. If we're being perfectly honest with ourselves, and like I've said a number of shiurim this week, Yom Neroim is meaningless if we're not honest with ourselves. Somebody who's trying to trick himself, and Yom Neroim is not his thing. Otherwise, he'll go through all the motions, and he'll dip his apple in the honey, and he'll blow the shofar, and he'll have the fish head, he'll do the al-chait, he'll do the bowing, he'll do the fasting. And what will happen to him? Nothing. If the person is honest with himself, he may well come to the following, perhaps somber conclusion, which is, the reason why I sometimes struggle in the avoda of tshuva is because, if I'm being very honest, I don't genuinely believe that I can change. I'll do all the motions, and I'll listen to all the tshuva shurim, and yes, I'll do it, I can change it. But if you're asking me heart of hearts, one second, I've been struggling with this midah or with this halacha for 20 years or 40 years, I really believe it can change. I really genuinely believe, or do I really secretly believe that, yeah, whatever, I'll give it a go. And if it changes, it's good. And if it's not, it's also good. And the likelihood is, whatever's been until now will probably continue. It's a lack of emuna. It's a lack of emuna in ourselves. I don't believe that I genuinely have the koichos. I have this tafkid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to fulfill. And I have the koichos to fulfill it, even though I haven't been doing so necessarily to the best until this point, but no, this can all change. So here I'd like to share with you a very profound thought. On Rosh Hashanah, if I don't have that emunah in myself, in the fact that, yes, I have an important tafkid to play and I can fulfill it until the full, even if that hasn't been the case until now. If I don't have that emunah, then Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur becomes meaningless. So here comes a very profound thought. Do you know what we do on Rosh Hashanah? We mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're actually being mamlich ourselves. Don't we say in davening, Onu Avodecho Va'ato Malkeinu. When we declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, what in fact am I declaring? That I am the Eved of that Melech. We asked before, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to coronate him? And the answer is, he doesn't need it. We need it. I need to remind myself that I am an Eved of the Melech. A Melech's role is to give tafkidim, different jobs to various people, each one tailor-made to his needs, with absolute confidence in that Eved that he can be up to the task. You know, unfortunately, I very often have to sit with individuals or couples who are struggling in different areas. And very often, we're talking about people who are in difficulty or crisis or in depression. And on a number of occasions, I find myself telling them, you know what? I have emunah in you. My question is, and my problem is, do you have emunah in yourself? Because it doesn't help that I've got emunah in you. You have to have emunah in yourself. When we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our coronation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, whether or not we coronate him. I need that reminder once again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emunah in me. So I certainly have to have emunah in myself. I'm the eved of the melech, hand-picked. If I wouldn't have a tafkid, if I wouldn't be important in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, then I wouldn't be here. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created me, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets me exist, then clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emunah in me. He has a task that he's assigned to me, which is tailor-made for my needs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emunah in me. Do I now have emunah in myself? When I'm mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm being mamlich myself. I am the proud Eved of the greatest Melech of them all. That's why the Avodah of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu must take place at the beginning of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Because if you're not Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning you're not Mamlech yourself, you're not coronating yourself as the Eved of the Melech, somebody who's got a very critical tafkid, then tshuva indeed becomes an impossibility. Who am I? What am I? Who needs me? Nothing's going to change. It's always been the same. I've always struggled. Finished. I've got a tafkid that I can't be mekayim. Too bad. Not important to anybody. But when I remind myself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and he has thereby declared me as the Eved, Onu Avodecho Va'ato Malkeinu, that is the first critical, indispensable stage of the tshuva process. That's why it's on Rosh Hashanah, and that's why it's the first day of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There is an incredible line, which every time I see this line, I almost fall off my chair. This line was written by the great Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Who was Reb Tzadok HaKohen? Reb Tzadok HaKohen was one of the great Reb Tzadok Melublin. Reb Tzadok HaKohen was one of the great Hasidisha Bali Machshava in the last 200 years. And he writes the most phenomenal, mind-blowing line that you ever heard in your whole life. And he says, Kashem, just like Shetzorich Odom Lahamin Bashem, just like a person has to be Mamin Bashem, Kach, so too, Sorich acharkach, he has to afterwards, lahamin ba'atzmoy. a mind-blowing line. Reb Tzadok is teaching us that emuna in Hashem has to be followed up by emuna in myself. Just like a person has to be ma'amin b'Hashem, so too has to be ma'amin in himself. And he carries on. What does that mean to be ma'amin in yourself? To understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, needs me, kaveyachol, and I am not a poyel botel. What's a poyel botel? An unemployed worker. You see somebody sitting at the side of the street, unemployed. What's his tafkid? He doesn't have one. Who needs him? Nobody needs him. What's his function? He has no function. What's his purpose? He has no purpose. The emunah that I have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is followed up by the emunah that I have in myself. I am not a poil bottle. I am not unimportant with no tafkid. I am critically important with a very important tafkid. It's so important that the Melech Malchei Amlochim, is the one who's injected me with this tafkid. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly has emunah in me. My job is now to remind myself to have emunah in myself. So we asked this question before. We don't necessarily find that tshuva is so easy. Why is that? What does the Torah mean when it says it's ki korev eilecho hadavar mo'od? Tshuva is korev eilecho. How long does it take to be chozer b'tshuva? 30 seconds? You have charata, kabbalah, vidui. That takes a minute. That's not difficult. The difficulty that we have is the stage before then. Do I genuinely believe that this tshuva process I'm about to undertake? Do I genuinely believe that I have the koichas to indeed enforce it? Do I have the emunah? That's where we struggle. Nobody says, well, I struggled in tshuva because I didn't know how to do vidui. It was too complicated. I didn't know it was too hard to do a charota. No, it's not hard. It takes 5 seconds if you're honest. So what's the difficulty? The difficulty is the stage before that. When I'm about to embark on my tshuva process, do I genuinely have a emunah in myself that I can change, that I can improve, that I can be mekayim my tafkid the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to? That's the struggle. So in order to inject us, in order to be mechazek us with that, we first have Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the reminder HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king, then we are the Eved. Onu avodecho v'ato malkeinu. That is the absolute indispensable preliminary stage to tshuva. If you don't believe in yourself, well, then indeed, our tshuva process will become a great struggle because it'll be all very exterior, all very superficial. We'll go through the motions, we'll do the bowing, and we'll do the alchets, and the banging, and the fasting, and the blowing, and it's all very nice. But I didn't heart of hearts have emunah in myself. I didn't heart of hearts genuinely feel that I can change. Ah, but I'm mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I remind myself HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a tafkid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have emunah in me. So now indeed, I have to have emunah in myself. I have a tafkid, which clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels I can be mekayim. And if I don't feel that I can change, then I need to know it's a lack of emunah. That is the avodah on Rosh Hashanah. We blow the shofar. B'chatzotzreis, the shofar hariyu lifnei hamelech. We blow the shofar, we declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need it. We need it. The Melech does not make mistakes. He has given me a tafkid. He clearly has emunah in me. He's given me the koichos to be mekayim that tafkid. Now I need to get on with it. If I don't genuinely believe I can change, indeed I never will. Reb Lauer, you wanted to say something?
I have a question. Not me, but let's say a guy like you or a very serious Jew who's on this every day of the year. So how does Rosh Hashanah pose a different matzah for himself? A Jew who's really like a serious Jew is every day of the year trying to do tshuva, trying slach lanu. He's trying to always be better. So what happens Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah and his men that all of a sudden it's a different, you know?
Because during Elul and Rosh Hashanah, even though there's a chiyuv to do tshuva all year round, we daven every day, Hashiveinu Avinu, but now there is special siyata dishmaya. There is special siyata dishmaya. It's easier to be chayuzah b'tshuva during Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva than any other day of the year. So it's true. If somebody was over in Aveira, even in the middle of Cheshvan, he's supposed to be chayuzah b'tshuva. But now it's easier. And if it's easier, then that becomes a greater responsibility not to miss that opportunity.
And do you think that if you're on your game as a Jew, maybe in Chodesh El Hashem point makes it may illuminates to you where you need to work? So all
100%.
of a sudden you don't have a great Elul because you know it's not a pleasant Elul because all of a sudden you're falling to Kas and all of a sudden you're
Okay, so
falling
Kodesh
to.
Baruch Hu is highlighting and he's taking us by the scruff of the neck and says, here, get on with it. This is your job. This is where you need to work. That is part of the Siyata Dishmaya in Tshuva. Now I need to believe, Kodesh Baruch Hu believes in us. We now need to believe in ourselves. So Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, as we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we're mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're mamlich ourselves. We should be zoche Be'ezus Hashem to a very uplifting Yom Tov, a k'siva chasim etoiva to everybody, and all our tefillah should be neskabel etoiv, or the rotzei emitz Hashem.
Ziva chasim
etoiv. By the way, I would just